Hello and welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. The following podcast is part 11 of a series called The Wonder of Worship and is presented by Ray and Linda Noah, pastors here at the center. Today's podcast is a report on the progress and results of Project Oromia, an outreach being conducted at this very moment in the poorest areas in the country of Ethiopia. Let's join Ray and Linda as they share this report.
So he's going to let me give the Oromia report this morning. And I think that's a little bit dangerous to do because who knows when you're going to get the service back. It could be scary. Well, like he said, we came in Wednesday and we just had a wonderful trip. And the next slide is just the team that went with us. And I have to tell you, it was an incredible team. There was not anybody who lacked in any way or who did not do what they were called to do. And there's just an incredible opportunity to watch God work. When we had gone the last time, the missionaries hadn't been sent out. Well, this time when we were going to see them, the missionaries had been out in the field, and they came back to us with a whole new kind of fervor. I mean, they were intense. They had met the enemy, and they were now listening very closely and very clearly how to manage the enemy. And did we lose the pictures? Oh, it is behind me. Oh, okay. I want to go to, you can see the picture there of the missionaries that we trained, and there was about 358 of them, and we noticed that some of the missionaries brought some of their friends, so they'd heard what was going on, and they wanted to be a part of this. And these men and women sat on these boards, and this next slide that I'm going to show you, the seats that you see, these were the good seats. And as it moved back to in back of the church, they were like these two befores, and Ray told each of us to go back there and experiment sitting on them. And my feet couldn't touch the ground, so I had to take one foot and leverage and then sit on this little 2x4, and I lasted about 10 minutes. Well, these guys sat there from like 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. with just a few breaks all day long, and they were just so incredibly hungry. We went into an area that the word of God is not known there. This Christianity thing is a whole new thing. And so they were just scribbling down notes as fast as they could write the things that we were saying. And it was incredible. We taught them about Bible basics. We taught them about leadership. We talked to them about discipleship. We talked to them about evangelism. We talked about having a vision for their life. We did things just to inspire them. And it was incredible to watch God move and the fervor upon which they listened. And we wanted to give you back some reports of this. And, you know, someone said, I wish we could paint a picture of the vastness of this. And someone says, well, you share it in numbers, but I want you to see these numbers because it's incredibly profound. We launched in April and really sent our missionaries out in May. And you'll see, like, every month, June, July, August, September, as of October, we have seen 14,581 people not just say they want to come to know Christ, join churches, being discipled within a body. This is equal to, if we were to take all of our Christmas concerts and all 10 of them that run about 1,500 people, and all of those people joined our church within a couple of months after. That's the kind of crowds of people that we're talking about. And we're going into a land, into a region that hasn't heard the word of God before. In fact, they don't even have Bibles. And so we are part of this miraculous miracle that we are seeing as this wave is just going all over the land of these people. But there's even more to this. Now, this number, the 14,500 about, that's only with 232 churches, missionary pastors being launched. And then out of those 232, 107 of them in the last 5 months have already built physical buildings. 57 of those 232 have not only planted their church, but they've planted another church. And so it's just like, we're like going, whoa. In November 1st, we had released 303 total missionaries. So that's about 70 plus more missionaries getting sent out November 1st. That doesn't show up in these numbers of 15,000 people being added to the church. December 1st, we've got about 9 more, and so we're going to be releasing 312 missionary pastors. 358 of them have been trained. So of this, what we've done what we've done, Portland Christian Center, in the last 5 months, we have launched 415 newly planted churches. Without exaggeration, 15,000 people have been brought into the kingdom of God and are learning about our Lord and Savior more and more each day. Without exaggeration. Eliah, who's our coordinator, says, at the rate we're going, within 2 years, we will have witnessed 100,000 people coming to know the Lord. And one of the treats that we got to experience was we got to go out into the villages and we got to meet the people and we got to see them and we got to see the areas that our missionaries were going out. And how this works is they would just go into a village. They have nowhere to sleep. They have nowhere to lay their head. They try to ask a family to take them in. And usually there's a power encounter where they'll engage a witch doctor or they will pray for somebody to be healed. And then these people will be wanting to know who this Jesus is. And one of the trips that there were so many stories and it was so incredibly special to us. Oh, and I want to show this. This slide here is pretty typical in the environment, and the women worked really hard. If you're in women's rights, believers of that, it was not the place to be. Because they were the one who really carried the physical load. And some of the humor on some of our team were that there was like toddlers. They looked like 2 and 3 year olds who were working the sheep and the goats and managing in the fields. And some of the guys would say, wow, we need to expect a lot more out of our toddlers once we, because it was just incredible to watch what they did in very primitive and rustic situations. But there was this area went out and where they did the tree worshipers. And this particular tree, 2 million people a year take a pilgrimage to worship this tree. And the god Abadur resides in this tree, and they smear butter on it and pray and chant or whatever else that they do. So I thought this was interesting, but we came into this area and we chose this area because a widow in our church sent funds to help another widow in this area, and we wanted to get a picture of the house that was built for this woman. This doesn't look like much. It's made out of sticks and straw and dung and mud, and you can see the little metal there for the window, but I'm telling you, this place was a mansion. And it was incredibly beautiful. And you would go into this, and it was very cool. And it was very delightful. And I walked into this, and it was just filled with such wonder. I think this hit me the most because we went to see the neighbor. And this is the home of the neighbor. And again, you see the dung, and you see the sticks. And in this home lived a woman, her husband, and her 4 children. And she was a believer, and she was, this next shot is a close-up of one of their kids, and I hope you can see that the cleanliness was not a part of this trip. I learned a whole new side of Linda Noah on this trip. But she invited us into her home because we'd had some opportunity at several of the villages. We wanted to see what the people lived in the area. This is their bed that they slept on, and during the day it was also the only chair that they had to sit on in this home. And this is the picture of the woman's kitchen area, and it's hard to get a focus on this, but it was very neat. Despite all the mud and the manure, it was also just incredibly neat. And the only dishes that I saw were these little cups. And you'll see the yellow barrel is what they had to carry water. There was no running water. There was no toilets of any kind. This was life as they knew it to be. And typical for them is they take the food and they put it all on one big plate, and everybody just kind of grabs out of the dish and begins eating and drooling and dribbling all over the place, and is how they get their food. But when we were in this village, this woman was incredibly gracious, and there was 2 men standing off to the side. And you can tell by the looks of them, they weren't too sure what they thought about us. Arms crossed, just kind of glaring at us. And our group was paying attention to the house. We were kind of struck by it. It was amazing to get to see how the people were living. And our Ethiopian director walked over to the men, and he asked them If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And the man said, well, I don't know. And Elihu said to him, you know, I can tell you how that you can go to heaven. And he said that if all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and if we would confess Jesus as Lord of our life, confess with our hearts and believe that God raised him from the dead, that we can know that we can go to heaven today. And this man said, in a matter of 3 to 4 minutes, I would like to confess my sins, and I would like to know that I could go to heaven. And I kind of saw this out of the side, and then I walked up to him, and I go, Elihu, what's going on? Because I didn't know what was going on. I thought they maybe were angry. And I noticed that tears were just in his eyes. And Elihu said he just accepted Jesus as his Savior. And by the way, he's the husband of the woman of the house we were just at. And then we began our journey to go into the church because we wanted to worship there with them. This area, the pastor previous to the pastor we were installing there had been stoned. And he was afraid of the tree worshipers, and so he had fled. And so we were installing a new pastor in this area, in this region. He must have been 23 years old. I mean, he was just a kid. But he'd gone through the training, and he was ready to go. And he was excited. And he said, you know, it doesn't matter what happens to me because I believe who Jesus is, and I believe that I've been called to declare his name to this land. And so as we entered the church, I looked back, and there was this husband just literally skipping and leaping. You know, it was my image in my mind as he walked into the church with us there, and we worshiped the Lord. What an experience. We gave these missionary pastors, the theme for the week was Soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. And we gave them the wristbands that we also gave you, and they put these on with the greatest of pride and hope. And we knew, and we were telling them that they were warriors that we were sending out into the land, and that the Lord was going to go with them. And they put these bracelets on with such pride and such joy. And the next shot, as the team was all together, they were holding up their bracelets. Soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. What a trip. Missionary 1A. He'd gotten electrocuted. And the electricity came up through his feet and blew out through his body. And he began to show me the scars that was on his body. And he'd lost his fingers. And then he took his hat off, and there was the hole which the electrical current had blown all the way through his body and up to the top of his head. And he said to me, he says, you wouldn't need to sponsor me. Jesus healed me, and I'd do this without the sponsoring. Another missionary said he walked into this village, and there was a woman there who was chained with heavy chains to a tree, and she was crazy. And he prayed for her, and she was immediately delivered. And she began walking around the city as if she were normal. And his church was just exploding, and he was moving into a position of planting 3 other churches just because of the work of God that he'd done in this area. We just heard story after story after story, an epileptic man who was completely restored. And wow, wow. Some of the prophecies that we were given was that the harvest is ripe, and that Ethiopia, that God has given us to Ethiopia. And we can say that, well, yeah, you know, we're sending our money. This is happening because of our faith and our step and our launch. But the other side of the prophecy was that God has given Ethiopia for us. And I've been pondering that the last couple days as Ray and I have been home, and it's just become so incredibly real to me because I'll tell you this. The Bible says that if you have faith just the size of a mustard seed, that you can go tell a mountain to throw itself in the sea and it should be done. I don't know about you, but my big takeaway from being here is that I don't pray enough. I don't know God's word enough. I don't expect enough. And God's wanting me to have the simple faith that the Ethiopian people have. The story of John the Baptist, and when John was in prison, and he heard what Christ was doing, and He sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who has come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor." I'm here to tell you what we're witnessing in Ethiopia, and that is the lame walk, the blind see, those who are demonized are freed. And I'm here to tell you we've been given for Ethiopia, but Ethiopia has been given for us, because here's the deal. The same Jesus that rules and reigns in Ethiopia is the same Jesus that rules and reigns here. Several of our translators kept saying to me, "Linda, I am your eyewitness. I am your eyewitness to record these things, to witness these things," because it was amazing what we witnessed. Bible says, faith of a mustard seed, that we can go tell a mountain, throw itself in the sea. I tell you what, we have more faith in that today because we've seen what God can do. And the Lord, we feel, has led us to invite you all across this congregation. What do you need from the Lord today? Do you need help in your personal finances? Do you need help in your businesses? Do you need help in your body? Do you need relationships restored? Are you struggling with fear? Are you up against an obstacle that just seems impenetrable? We're here to tell you that God can go tell your mountain to go throw itself in the sea. And I'm going to ask Ray to pray. And we just want to invite you, if you need something from the Lord today, it's not the God of Ethiopia. It's your God. It's your Heavenly Father who desires to perfect every single thing that concerns you. And His Word says you have not because you ask not. His Word says that don't be anxious, don't be worried, but with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And I'm asking you today, do you have a need? I want you to stand, and I'll stand with you because I have a need. And I need the God of Ethiopia to be the God of Portland Christian Center and to meet our needs. Will you stand with me?
We've seen God moving in mighty ways in Ethiopia. I wish we had time to just stay here all day and tell you the story after story, miracle after miracle, what God is doing. But I think you kind of have an idea already. And God wants to do something in your heart today. God wants to do something in this congregation today. God wants to do something for you today. The same God who is at work in Ethiopia is at work here at Portland Christian Center today. And He wants to release His favor. He wants to release His power. He wants to release His blessing. He wants to release His life to those of us who will be bold enough to open up their hearts and to ask and believe God for it. And so if that's you, if you have a need, if you need God to break through in your life, you need God to do something miraculous in your life, I just want you to take your hands and cup them before the Lord and lift them up and let's pray. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. And we declare that the same God who is alive and at work in Ethiopia, the same God who is healing the sick, the same God who is releasing people from their demonic oppression, the same God who is saving souls by the thousands, the same God who has even raised the dead, is here today in this place. His power is not limited by borders or by oceans, or it's only limited by our faith. And God, we lift to you our faith today. We lift to you faith that maybe it's as small as a mustard seed, but your word says that's enough faith for you to be activated in our lives. And so God, we lift our lives to you right now. And we pray that you would come and you would touch your people and you would meet our needs. And we pray that that same miracle working power of God would be present among us today. God, I pray for every person whose hands are raised. I pray for every need that is represented in this place today. I pray for
every life that needs a breakthrough this morning, I pray that in this moment, God, you would do the impossible. God, you would do the miraculous. God, you would do what only you can do, and you would set your people free. You would heal your people. You would deliver your people. You would empower your people. You would raise up a church at Portland Christian Center that will take this city by storm. God, we don't want it just to happen in Ethiopia. We don't want to hear stories of only of what's going on over there. We don't want to hear of 15,000 people in 6 months that have come into the church in a foreign country in Africa. We want it to happen right here in Portland, Oregon. And so, God, we call upon you today in the name of Jesus. Fall upon your church. Empower. God, come in your strength and your glory and reveal yourself to us. We open our hearts before you, and we pray that you would pour your divine life into us today, oh God. We pray that in this moment, God, you would do something that would change us forever. When we leave this place today, God, we would not leave the same as when we came in. Oh God, we pray by your Holy Spirit, fall upon us, oh God. Fall upon us, oh God. We're tired of the sameness. We're tired of the routine. We're tired of just going through the motions. We're tired of just playing church. Oh God, we call upon you as Elijah called upon you. As Elisha said, where is the God of Elijah? God, we would say, where are you? Where are you? Come and speak to your people. Come and touch your people. Come and heal your people. Come and set your people free. God, come, come and fall upon your people today. We pray, and do what only you can do. God, do in this moment what only you can do, and we pray that you would do it for your glory and your glory alone. God, we pray that out of Portland Christian Center would go forth the message that this is a people who are dedicated to the glory of God alone. May that be our heart cry, soli Deo Gloria. So God, reveal your glory in us and reveal your glory among us. And God, reveal your glory through us. Lord, we pray. We pray. Lord, it's not simply by the passion in my prayer this morning. It's not simply because we're standing and we're asking these things. God, it's only going to happen because you're a gracious God. And you're willing to do what your people call upon you to do. You're willing to hear your people pray. You're willing to look into their hearts and see, God, their cry. See their desire. See their passion for you. And oh God, I pray that in this moment you would do that. You would hear our prayer and you would answer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you in advance for what you've done in this moment. And we praise you. We praise you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen, amen. You can be seated. I want to thank Linda for that, to bring in that report. I gave her 5 minutes. And I guess I should have known. There's just so much to share, so much to say. And I have a message this morning. I want to talk to you about the worship of a larger-than-life vision. And I just frankly don't have time to do that this morning. It's going to take far more than the next 10 or 15 minutes to do it. So I'm just going to save it for another time. I think the Lord moved among us this morning. God said what he wanted to say. And I would just say God is doing some great things. God is doing some amazing things through this church. And, let me just tell you a quick story. I think maybe you saw a little bit of it on the film that we showed last week, but it just kind of encapsulates for me what God has exported through Portland Christian Center to this very poor nation in Ethiopia. But Linda showed you the picture of the tree. Abadar is the God who comes and inhabits this tree, and millions of people worship this God in these trees, and particularly in the region that we've gone to. We don't face opposition from the Islamic faith. We're not running into opposition from the Orthodox Church. But the opposition and the real challenge there is this spirit worship. And one of the prime ways that they worship this the spirits is through these trees. And so I had encountered some of these and seen some of these trees before. And so as we were driving up to the training place, we drove 2 hours every day to get to this place of training.
And so one of the days as we were driving up there, and we had heard a story of one of our missionaries who had gone in, church planters who had gone into one of these villages that wouldn't listen to him because the people worshiped the tree. And he said, look, my God is the one that created that tree, so you ought to listen to me and you ought to worship my God. And so they resisted this guy. And he said, I'm going to curse the tree. And he did. He cursed the tree. And the next day, the tree fell over. It was dead. And so we were kind of inspired by that story. And I was telling some of the people on our team about these trees, and I wanted to show them one. And this is before we saw the picture of that one there. And so as we were driving up to this place, I said to our interpreter, I said, hey, if you see one of these sacred trees, I want you to point it out so that our team in this particular car will be able to see and know what we're talking about. And so he was looking around and he didn't see one. And then so we just kept on driving, and we were kind of late getting to the training site anyway. And so suddenly, he said something to our driver that we didn't understand. They were speaking in Amharic. And the driver pulled over, and I was getting irritated because we needed to get to the training site. And I think, what in the world is going on here? So the driver pulled over, and the interpreter rolled down his window, and he called a couple of random ladies who were just walking down the road. I mean, this was in the middle of nowhere. And he called these two ladies over, and he talked for a while, and in Oromifa was the particular language of this particular area. And he talked for a while, and suddenly they kind of burst out in laughter, and then he laughed, and he rolled the window up, and we took off. I thought, what in the world was that? And so as we drove a little while, I said, what was that all about? And he said, well, as I asked the ladies where the sacred tree in this particular area was, they said, oh, said, we've all become Christians here, and all of those trees have been torn down, have been chopped down. And if you want to see one of those sacred trees, you're going to have to go way across the mountains to another region to find one. That is the power of God in that place. And that is the result of what Portland Christian Center has invested to send the gospel into this territory and to plant these churches. We just heard story after story after story like that. Another exciting story. I said I was only going to tell one, but I got a few minutes before I need to let you go. I've been involved in this church planting ministry now for 7 years. Prior to coming here, 5 years, and then the last 2 years is I've been your pastor. In those 7 years, I've planted 1,800 churches, and it's been a little sad to me that not a single one of those churches are an Assembly of God church, our denomination. Not because we didn't want to, but because the assemblies in Ethiopia didn't really want to play ball with us, and they were kind of standoffish. And so I just felt the Lord really prompting my heart to try to make a connection with the Assemblies of God of Ethiopia. And so through this fortuitous sovereign encounter, God placed Linda and I and one other guy on our team in the office of the general superintendent, the general secretary of the Assemblies of God for all of Ethiopia. And just a wonderful, a new leader, a young guy, probably younger than me, and just a real sharp guy, and we really connected, had a wonderful conversation with him. And I talked to him about what we were doing, and then I just felt prompted to say, you know, if you're open to it, I would like to help you. I would like for our team and our church to be able to serve you. We're an Assembly of God church, and I think it would be just kind of cool if we could help plant some Assembly of God churches. And I said, I don't want anything from you. I'm not angling to get anything. I don't want a thing from you. I just want to serve you. I just feel like the Lord has put it on my heart to serve you. So would you pray with us about it? And I'll send you our business plan, our church planning model, and you can look it over. And if you want, we'll help. If not, then we just have gained some new friends, and we'll be praying for you. And he was very open to it. And by the way, he sent me an email a few days later and says, I would love for you to come and help me. I would love for you to send me your business plan, your church planning plan. And if God leads you, please come and partner with us. But in that meeting, I said, how many churches? Now, keep in mind, we have planted, we are in the process of planting, have planted 415 churches now. Those churches are already planting their own churches, which was according to our plan. They're doing it. They're already building their own buildings. We haven't even released any money for them
to resource the building of these buildings. You know, we plan on releasing microfinancing funds to them, a microloan, so that they could start a business that would generate money that would help them to support their pastor and build their own buildings. And before we've done any of that, they have already, 107 of them have already built their own buildings. These guys are seizing the day, seizing the initiative, and they're going for it. I mean, we're just so excited about that. So anyway, we were talking to this guy, and he, you know, he seemed to be real open to our help. And so I said to him, so how many churches do the Assemblies of God have in Ethiopia? And remember, we've planted now 415. How many churches do the Assemblies have in Ethiopia? He said, 160. 160. I said, so how many more churches would you like? How many churches would you like to plant? And he said, I would like for each of our churches to plant another church. I would like to have 160 more Assembly of God churches in Ethiopia. And I didn't say anything to him. I didn't make any promises. But I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great for Portland Christian Center in one fell swoop to double the Assembly of God population in Ethiopia? Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, wouldn't that be, someone say amen, so I'm not standing up here all alone. And so I want you to begin to pray with me about that. I don't know if that's what God has for us, and we're not going to launch into any other program in the next few months, you know, maybe a couple of years down the road, but it just began to excite my heart. God is kind of expanding this vision for what he has for us to do in this nation. And I got to tell you this as well. God is expanding my heart for just beyond Ethiopia. God wants us to do this all over the world. God wants us to do this all over the world. God has called Portland Christian Center to be a world-changing church. He wants us to impact the nations. He says, ask of me and I will give you the nations. But he's also said to me, and I'm going to talk to you more about this at the beginning of the year, that God has given us the city of Portland. This isn't just about what we're doing on a foreign field. God has some business for us to take care of here in Portland. Portland belongs to Jesus Christ. And it's been in the hands of the enemy for far too long. And God wants it back. God wants it back. And so God is giving us the city of Portland as well. And I think the vision and the strategy is coming. And so I'm going to ask you to be praying about that. I'm going to ask you to be opening your heart and asking God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to play a part in this? God has some business for us to take care of. I believe that we are in a season of harvest. God is giving us a harvest. But we've got to step into it. We've got to be ready. We've got to get a vision for it. We've got to step forward in obedience. We need to step forward in faith. And God is going to release blessing in our lives. He's going to release blessing upon this church. He's going to give us impact. And God wants that for your life as well. And so I'm going to ask you over the next few weeks, the next few months, to really begin to pray with me about what God is calling you to do to be a part of this great move that God has so graciously laid before Portland Christian Center. This is our time, and it's our time to seize the day that it's going to take people of bold, daring faith to do it. And I hope that you will be that kind of person. And I hope that this pastor up here will be that kind of bold and daring pastor. And we're going to take this world, we're going to take Ethiopia for Jesus. We're going to take this world for Jesus. And we're going to take this, maybe the toughest nut of all to crack is weird old Portland. We're going to take Portland for Jesus Christ as well. So I hope you're with me. Are you with me? Are you with me on that? Hallelujah. I have a little clock right back there that says 11:29. And I'm going to close. And I just want you to know that you will never see this moment again. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're just going to dismiss in prayer. And I want you just to offer your life. There's a challenge before us. A challenge before us. God is saying, I'm going to give you the nations. I'm going to give you the city. I'm going to give you your world. Are you ready for it? If you are, just take your hands and lift them to the Lord and say, God, I'm ready. Use me. Here I am. Use me. God, here we are. I think almost everybody in this church is lifting their hands right now. They're candidates to be used by you. Lord, we're a church. We're a candidate church wanting to be used by you. Lord, I pray that in this moment where we're just offering ourselves vulnerably before you. We maybe can't see it right now, but we speak it by faith. God, give us the nation of Ethiopia. God, give us the nations. God, give us the city of Portland, perhaps the toughest of all. Give us the city of Portland. And God, when we go back out into our world tomorrow morning, I pray, give us our world as well. Give us our school. I pray for these young people. God, give them their school. God, give them their friendship circle. God, give them their friends, I pray. I pray for every mom that is trying to manage her home. God, I pray that you'd give her her home. I pray for every business person that goes back into their world tomorrow, that you would give them their place of work. Give them their business, I pray. God, everywhere we go, just as you promised to Joshua, you said, every place you set your foot, I will give it to you. I will make you prosperous and successful. God, I pray for every person with their hand raised this morning, that wherever they go tomorrow morning, wherever they go this week, that you would give it to them for your glory alone. God, go before them and prepare the way. Empower them. God, do what only you can do. God, give us this city, we pray. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray as we go that you would bless us. Lord, we just humble ourselves before you. We realize that we're not worthy of anything except by your grace and your mercy. And so I pray, God, that you would be gracious to us. I pray that you would lift up your countenance upon us. I pray that you would make your face to shine upon us, that you would turn toward us, and that you would extend your mercy and your grace and your favor toward us, and that we would walk from this place in your peace. And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it. And we'll be very careful to give you all of the gratitude for it. We just thank you in advance for what you're going to do, especially as we go into this week of Thanksgiving, God. We just want our hearts to be overflowing with gratitude. And I pray, God, that as you go before us, that you would give us a great week. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast, featuring part 11 of our series called The Wonder of Worship. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect, please join us this coming Sunday. For more information about our service times and about our church, visit us online at www.pcctoday.com.